Hey guys, welcome back to the Enrique Oquendo Experience. So guys, real quick before I go into the show, an alarming 66% of people that watch my content are not subscribed at all. That is crazy. I would like to ask you guys to please subscribe. That allows the channel to grow. It allows new opportunities to come my way so I can give you guys great content in return. Today, tomorrow, and in the future to come. So please subscribe. All right, guys, so moving on to the third installment. This is gonna be an exclusive look into my life, how I overcame odds, and what I learned from them, how it made me a stronger person, and it made me the person that you see today, why I'm able to, you know, sit here and give you guys advice and how I want the world to, you know, overcome odds just as I did. I'm no different than you guys. Believe me when I tell you that I am not special. And I believe anybody can overcome odds with the right mindset, with the right tools, and with the right network of people. All right, so we're gonna go through these segments. I'm gonna cover trauma. I'm gonna cover how I went through extreme poverty, how I went through PTSD in the military, and my ongoing struggle and growth with my mother, who unfortunately is a sick person who suffers from anxiety, depression, amongst some other things. So real quick, my story started in Cuba in 1989. That's when I was born. So from 1989 to 1995, I lived in Cuba with my father. Around 1992-93, my grandmother decides to come to the States. Her dream was to be able to bring us to the States once she established a life. So in return, she put off her dreams, aspirations, everything. She put everything on the line to sacrifice herself and her happiness to bring us to the States. So my grandmother was stripped from, you know, my hands. I was always with her, according to what she says to me, and because my mom was rarely around. I also grew up with my father, who was separated from my mother. He lived his own life with my sister, who he had with another woman. And it was a very rough life in Cuba. I would say that from ages 2.5 to 5 years old, I have vivid memories of, you know, playing outside in the rain, catching tadpoles with mason jars, playing with marbles. It was a happy life for what appears to be an ignorant kid. When you're a kid, you don't really realize some of the heavy stuff that's going on around you because you don't interpret things the way an adult does. So from 94 to 95, my mother and I went through famine. For anybody that doesn't know what famine is when you go through extreme droughts of no food. And when I mean no food, I mean no food. You have to scavenge, you have to do anything and everything to have a plate of food, which is not guaranteed. Sometimes you go days without eating. I went through all those things with my mother, which were not easy at all. And to this day, I still somewhat think sometimes about, you know, the heavy moments that I had to live through with my mother at such a young age. So trauma was a big thing growing up. You know, not having resources, everything was just so limited. It's a very limited environment, something that we're not accustomed to in the States. And then from 1995 to, I would say, 2008, so from 5 years old to 18 years old, I lived with my mother, went through public school systems. Grew up in Little Havana, which was a gang-infested environment, a lot of killings, a lot of drugs. I remember sometimes we would go through raids in the building where I lived in with my grandmother, police raids, for those people that don't know what raids are. And the feds were always active in that neighborhood too, because they were trying to catch criminals that were pushing drugs through Little Havana at the time. So growing up in Cuba, a socialist dictatorial regime where there are no resources, you know, extreme bouts of famine. And then fast forward, going to this beautiful country, which I love, and then being raised in one of the most violent neighborhoods at the time in Miami, which was a little section of Little Havana. It was very tough as a kid. My grandmother was always working in the nursing home. She would work like a dog, so was my mother. They would each work bi-weekly more than 80 hours. I believe they were each working about 120 hours at best, at minimum, I would say, bi-weekly. So they were working very hard at minimum wage, trying to provide. So if I wasn't in school, I was in the apartment by myself, watching cartoons, watching movies, trying to get my mind away from this ridiculous neighborhood that we had to live in. And, you know, when you grow up in an environment where you don't have a father figure, and, you know, both your grandmother and your mom, and in this case, I had two moms, are never around, you have to grow up fast. You have to grow up really fast. The average 6-7 year old that has a functional household has leverage, whereas a 6-7 year old that's growing up with scarcity in a dysfunctional household in a aggressive, violent, drug-infested neighborhood, he doesn't have any leverage. He has to grow up fast because he has to survive. He has to adapt. He has no choice but to do these things. So it cultivates a very mature mindset, and it makes you grow up rather quick. You know, you can't afford to be this little kid. So that was very rough for me. Moving forward, you know, from the moment I was born to basically 18 years of age, now I'm in my senior year in high school, and I meet this recruiter. I had no guidance. I never had any sort of educational guidance from my household. Basically always by myself. I meet this recruiter, and Staff Sergeant Cattell, that was his name. I'll never forget his name. He changed my life. He changed everything. Without that man, I wouldn't be the man that I am today, because of the opportunity that he granted me. I was able to join the delayed entry program, which is MEPS. You go through the system before you go on and get shipped onto boot camp. And I remember the day that I left and I got on that Greyhound bus, and I cried as the bus was driving off. I could see my mother crying next to my stepdad. It was a very hard moment for me, and it was a very surreal moment. Everything changed for me. I knew I had to do something with my life. I had to change my life. I had to become a man. This whole time, I was a scared kid. I had separation anxiety. I was stripped from my grandmother when I was 2 to 3 years old, which affected me tremendously. I was stripped from my father at 5 years old, brought to the States, which affected me tremendously. I grew up in a very dysfunctional environment with my mother, who I loved to death, from the moment I was born till 18 years of age when I decided to join the military. So, you know, separation anxiety, I had extreme views of limited belief systems in me, because none of these things were inculcated in me. Kids and adolescent males and females need a lot of guidance. They need structure. When you don't have those things, what ends up forming is a very hollowed out shell of a person who then later on has a lot of problems in life dealing with other people, who doesn't know how to cultivate relationships with other people. It becomes very challenging to show maturity, to show leadership, to show anything, to show love, because you're scared all the time. So what ends up happening is you put up a front of a person that's not you. You know, I'm not trying to hurt people. I'm not trying to be an asshole. But if you didn't get what you were supposed to get as far as content as a kid, moving forward adolescence, moving forward adulthood, if you didn't get those principles as a kid, you're gonna have a lot of challenging moments in your career setting, in a job setting, in a relationship setting. You're gonna have a lot of challenges with people. And the majority of people have their own baggage, so they don't even know how to look at you, for the most part, with a mature lens. They look at you and they just judge because they don't understand this person that's all messed up, what they have been through. So I had basically a few choices when I got to the Marine Corps. It was a whole new chapter, so I had something to prove. Boot camp, can't give up, thinking about my mother all the time. Then I go to School of Infantry and can't give up. I got my mother in my head all the time. I have to become a man. I have to go back to her as a man because I have to give her what she never gave me. God bless her soul. And be there for her as a beacon, something that she's never had. She never had someone strong to look up to, someone that could guide her, which is the man that I became today. I became that guy. That journey was nothing short of a miracle. I shouldn't be the man that I am today, because it just statistically doesn't happen. So going into the Marine Corps, I pass School of Infantry, I go into the fleet, I'm this motivated guy. I'm actually doing amazing. And I'm just scared inside the whole time. Now I've taken on this persona of tough guy, of I'm spearing problems from the front, but I don't know how to bring people with me, let alone show them that I care. So I developed this persona of a dickhead, excuse my language. And sooner or later, all those achievements and that praise that I was getting turns into a full-blown nightmare as the platoon and the newcomers that enter the platoon sort of turn on me. And that was a surreal moment. That was a heavy moment in my life where I had to realize that change needed to start once more. So here I am coming from this nightmarish life. Now I'm in a new opportunity and I don't know how to integrate, and now these people are turning on me. So now my defenses go up again. You know, because that's what you do when people turn on you. Oh, you guys are wrong, I'm right. You guys don't understand me. I'm just gonna keep doing my thing. And there were so many things wrong with that. That's a recipe for disaster. Human beings are not meant to thrive alone. They're meant to thrive as a tribe. The power is in the tribe, not in the individual. you can have one strong individual in a tribe, but if the whole tribe is fragmented, that individual is going to go down with the rest of the tribe. So about 3/4 of the way, my transformation started again, and I decided to change. I decided to win back the platoon. I'm not sure if I achieved that, and I have nothing against these people. I forgive them, and I also forgive myself for everything that happened in that platoon and what led to me becoming that person. But I had to go through that in order to change and morph into a better person, because life is a journey. This is a constant state of change, of empowerment, of betterment. You know, life is transformational. You're not this great guy, okay? You become a great guy. So, like I said, I forgive these people. I forgive myself for everything that I went through. It was something that was needed in my life. And moving forward, I left the Marine Corps in 2022. I left when I was 22 years old, 23 years old. And my life started in the civilian sector. First civilian job was Publix, the store manager, ex-military guy, decided to give me a chance, and I hated every moment of it. Being in a cashier, the register, you know, being in an industry where you have to be at the service of others is not easy, coming from a crazy world like the Marine Corps. I lasted about 3 years there, and then moving forward, I went into the security sector, and I decided to go work for a security company with my military experience. And I ended up working in the Metro Rail, in Miami's Metro Rail, working security, a very tough job. But it afforded me the opportunity to meet other people, grow as a person, empower my social skills, because not only are you dealing with great people, but you're also dealing with vagrants, people that are not so well in the head. And you have to deal with all of these types of personalities, all of these issues. It's every day was a learning experience. Now, I also decided to go into college and pursue an education in psychology initially. I ended up changing that to social work, because I didn't see myself going through so many years of schooling to become a medical doctor in psychology. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm gonna go for social work. I only need a master's, a clinical license, and then, you know, I can just set up shop in a hospital or a clinic, and then maybe down the line open up my own private practice, which was my goal. I decided to drop out of college and decided it wasn't for me. Soon after that, I was approached by someone working for the university that I work for now, and he offered me a job at the Metro. He approached me at the Metro Rail. He offered me a job at that university. He was a frequent flyer through the university. That would come to my station, and I decided to take it because I had, at that point, had enough of working in the Metro Rail, and I wanted to move to something more pleasant, something less kinetic. And so I came to this university that I work for now, and I've been there for a while now. It's a wonderful place to work for. It comes with its trials and issues like any other job, but I'm very lucky to have that job, to impact the people that I impact on a daily basis doing the job that I do, which is public safety. And I decided to follow my dream in changing the world, because I believe I have a calling when it comes to being able to give people guidance and helping them find their way. I believe that is my calling, and this is why I decided to open up this channel. The goal is to change lives, and I'm gonna do whatever it takes to do that in a positive way. For people that are struggling with things I went through or worse, I need you guys to understand something. You guys are not alone. There are people out there like me that want to connect with people like you. You are not alone. You have to understand that life is not easy. It is not meant to be easy. Now, going back to what I said earlier, it takes a tribe of people to create something better. So your relationships are correlated to your mental health. If you are alone, then you don't have connection. You need to find connection. You need to find people that are thinking differently than you. If you have depression, don't go out there and find people that are suffering of massive depression. Go out there and find people that are not suffering through depression, that can uplift you and change your frequency. You need to change that frequency. You know, our frequency, our thought patterns create our reality. And you need to understand, if you're going through these things, that you do not have to succumb to that reality. It is not real. I promise you, it is not real. You can change. You can empower yourself. All you need is the right people and the right tools to move forward. And in this channel, my goal is to change people. So if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, please feel free to comment on any one of these videos. I believe my email is posted. You can reach out to me via email. And the guidance is free, people. I am here at your service, okay? So I kind of covered a lot of things there. I didn't go into great detail, but that's basically me in a bubble. And it was a hard thing to even speak on these things because it hasn't been an easy journey. But I believe this channel and this journey that I'm on is about the spirit of transparency. I value transparency. I value honesty. And I have to be able to give you guys the best content and transparency that I could possibly give you so that we can grow as human beings and we can empower each other and make a better world. So that's basically it. I'll see you guys on the next segment. And I wish everyone a blessed evening. Okay. Please subscribe, hit the comments below, hit the like button. All right. Tell me what you think of this video. I'm open to suggestions, and we're gonna continue growing, all right, as a tribe. So I'll see you guys on the next go around. Thank you for listening.